English people came in here, there was Cunliffe's and Page's and Mallet's and Bradbury's and so on and so forth. They came in for lumber, yeah?
Yeah, in Dickey's. Then must have come, I don't know that if they come from Mary Machine. Mary Machine, you know, like them was down, was starting again on another
floor. Okay.
But like them was down, all them was down there, that went up Little Blacks and like old Tom Morris and old McClellan, and it wasn't old, and Mrs. McClellan wasn't married to McClellan, of course,
yeah.
It was a Monroe she was married. And when she was getting there, she was getting to have a baby, and he come down to get an old woman, and he got drowned coming down. And up there, there was a jail there, the McClellans and the Morrises. That all come from that in the sheep. And the Walker and O'Leary's and that all. But like Cunliffe there, and old Sidey, I don't know where that come from.
Well, the Cunliffe's came from Centerville, New Brunswick. That's down right near Woodstock.
I don't know. They must have come further than that in old times, because that's, I was there with old Wilson.
Yeah.
That was the... The Cunliffe, there was no Cunliffe there.
Yeah,
it was Macaulay's.
Macaulay's.
Yeah, the old man Cunliffe was
I know that
his
Nick.
Wife and his wife's sister.
Yeah, but the Cunliffe's must have come down from around St. John or Fredericton.
I don't know where they come from. I don't know, they might come from there in the sea, but it ain't the same English.
No.
And you go back and take that five finger, and you go there to your strike the ocean. And when you strike the ocean, the Mustangs is all there. The same language, the same English. The English that I've got, I'm got the Mustang English. There ain't no book English. I've learned that to the Mustang. But now we talk about the old English fellows that we had here, how lucky we was that the French fellows had. The old English fellow never worked like the French fellow. The English fellow had a way with the French fellow to work for him. And he made a living for the French fellow, and the French fellow made a living for the English fellow.
Yeah.
You take old man Connor before he died there, I was sitting at the head of his bed, and he didn't want nobody around but me. Mr. McCaskill's wife used to come in every morning and wash him all over, and then she used to kiss him, and he used to say, "Now you go and go on the stable."
Mrs. McCaskill, that was his daughter.
That was his daughter.
Uh-huh.
And Nick was his boss.
Yeah.
But I don't know, he had always faith in me. I don't know why. That's the thing I can't understand sometimes. Yes. And then an hour in a day that I don't think about the old man. And when old Vin died, I went and seen him, and the old Will met me at the door, and he took me by the neck and he cried. He said, "We lost the biggest piece," he said, "we ever lost in your life." And you take like old Sidey did, lumber, old Thomas lumber, old Neil McLean lumber, Dunn Central lumber, old Wheeler, that was all lumbermen. All them old English fellows, they had a way to get in business. I suppose they might have had a little education when the French fellows didn't have any.
Yeah, probably that was it.
But they always liked them, and they always, like old man Thomas, he never refused a barrel of flour to no man. Don't care where you were. It's like old people. If you had a family and you worked for them, you get there and you wanted a barrel of flour, a bag of beans, a bag of sugar, and give you whatever you want.
Cord of wood or a stove? Or
by wood then, no. It used to cut the wrong wood.
Yeah.
But then they take all the back settlement down from Thomas Lawson. All the back settlement down, all the settlement where I lived there. They used to make all their living up there. The Thomas wood, your old side would be, everything was wood. They used to cut wood for their living.
Yeah. There was a lumber mill up to Fort, what they called Fort Kent Mills.
Yeah, that was lumber. You know, you wasn't here. They had a big mill there.
They had a big mill. Yeah. They had a grist mill too. Didn't they, the lumber?
Yeah, and a mill to for your yarn to.
Spin the yarn?
Not spinning. Capvita. What do you call that?
I don't know.
They used to have
make yarn.
Make yarn.
Spinning wheels, they call them, didn't they? What did they do, Alice? Spin yarn? How did they make yarn?
They made yarn That's the way the flesh I cut bait.
Yeah.
They used to have about 4 feet long, and it was about as big, a little bigger than my finger.
Yeah.
And that was nice and clean. They used to do that with that mill. And they had a grist mill, and they had a big sawmill. And they used to take the lumber and that and the Fish River. Winterville and Red River and Fish River, and that's where they used to get all the
stuff. That lumber all came down the
Fish River.
Fish River
came. It was a big mill.
Yeah. Well, on the grist mill, what is that?
A grist mill, that's where they made buckwheat flour. That's where they made buckwheat flour. They used to take buckwheat and make buckwheat flour. And they could make it out of wheat, too.
Yeah.
But it was different rolls that you should go through rollers.
Yeah.
Buckwheat had a kind of roller. I don't think here that they could make white flour. I think it was only at Ledges.
Only at Ledges they made white flour. Yeah. Up here they just made
buckwheat.
They call it a grist mill, and they made buckwheat flour there.
Yeah.
That and then the lumber mill did a big business up there.
Oh, big business for sure. They used to sell a lot there, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was that Eagle Lake mill and that. But I never heard of where too much. But I'm going to tell you that story. Maybe you're either one of you is a Roman Catholic, but I'm going to tell you what happened. When the Eagle Lake burnt, that was in 1910, the first year, and I was working at McNeller City. And we got we heard about the fire. There was no telephone then. There was some pumps, you know. And we went down there and to Eagle Lake with my garden. You know, that mill was running, and there was fire that was in a long time. And there was two meadows were living on a hill. And there was that priest there, Teamakoo, they called. He was in a half Indian, more than half Indian. And then he come near him, and they took an old white horse and a plow, a little plow with a wooden, you know, and a little wooden plow, but the under was iron.
Yeah.
And they took five or six men, and they made they used to make bridges between the farms, you know. The fire was by the hot fire.
Yeah.
And where that priest sat, and that old horse, and then the fire never went behind that. That's just as true, I can swear that on the Bible today. And that's the way that they built the Eagle Lake Hospital. Fraser, Cushion and Bowie, that we had that building. They give the wood to old Father Marcy to build that build a hospital. That, you know, that's no lie, that's God's truth. I don't know, it must have been his way that he got it to Father Marcy. Well, he was a saint.
Yeah.
Because I used to come up in the woods, you know, and the rest of the priests, at night after the meeting, they used to read in the books and walk, you know, in the tent. And old Father Marcy, he used to get on that and sneak on that long floor and pray for an hour.
Would all the men be in there, he'd kind of hold mass or church or whatever?
Well, we used to hold mass in the cookroom. You know,
yeah.
And confession at night.
Yeah.
And then next morning they go to me in. But that was after the whole thing was done.
Yeah.
You know, and he used to make his bread. He used to stay in the cookroom. You know, he used to have a bed. You know, the there used to be a lot of priests in all that.
Yeah.
Most of the people that were in business here were English people like Cunliffe's and Page's and Mallet's.
Yeah.
They had big general stores, they called them, wasn't it, Billum?
Yeah, they had a big store, but it wasn't no canned stuff. Then there was no canned stuff. I can remember me, when my mother got the first can of tomatoes, we tried the cat with it, we tried the dog with it. Don't think we'd eat it in the world. Also, we were born and all brought up on milk and butter, and pork, and grillage, and beans, and pea soup, and things like that. And then we used to stay at Lakers, and there was a lot of tourists and all the passengers. Then, you know, you get in the house at 10 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't leave till you had your dinner. But it wasn't like today. Today, I'll tell my wife that you're coming in for dinner, and if I don't tell her, she'll kill me. If I tell her, it would cost about $5 to get the dinner, because you have to get all the things in the world. But us then, it was grocery bread, and the first thing we used to go in the summer was to go and get the cream. The cream was in the spring. We used to put that in cold water, you know. We used to go and get that in the grocery bread and butter and give you lunch. Good harvest.
Well, and you lived right on the river here, between Clare and between New Brunswick and Maine, we'll say. How did you get across the river?
Well, we used to get across, my God, then anybody could cross a canoe. And then we had them two boats down below the church. There were great Lucy stories now, right?
Yeah.
There was two boats with wire on top.
Ferry boats.
And then there was a ferry boat here. And there was one at Ledger, mm-hmm. and there was one at St. Francis, where the brick house is now.
Yeah.
Where in the Burgoyne was Thomas Arthur. Mm-hmm. And then up to Tobin, there was another one.
Yeah.
And then there was a big mill on the St. Francis plank there.
Yeah.
With the mother of the St. Francis. Then there was a ferry boat there.
There was a ferry boat there,
huh?
Yeah.
There was two big mills there.
Yeah. You used to have to pay to go across. They were owned
by private publishers,
and you had to pay to go across.
10 cents.
10 cents.
10 cents to go and 10 cents to come back.
Yeah.
And on the bridge, it was 10 cents to go and back. 5 cents to come.
5 cents one way.
Yeah.
And who built the bridge?
Oh, it was Joe Long.
Joe Long. He lived in Clare.
Yeah, he lived in Clare, and he had a bar right there in right at the end of the bridge, big
yeah.
bar.
Yeah.
That's where the bar used to get their rum. You used to get about 12 quarts of gin there from quart bar. Then it wasn't pint, but here it was a quart. So $5 for a bar, cake.
Yeah.
And I used to make rum. There was a nice little blue box. We used to make rum boxes for the workmen.
Yeah.
We used to make rum boxes for the workmen.
Now it would cost you $5 just for the box, Bill.
Yeah.
Then you used to get 12 bottles of gin and the box for $5.
And then it came up to 6, and that was a hell of a big price.
Yeah. How did you get your liquor across? You had to smuggle it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was pretty hard. But it was old John Meadows here that used to live here, the customs officer then, and he wasn't too bad.
He wasn't too strict?
No.
Yeah. That was John Meadow. He was the first custom house officer here?
Yeah.
He was, huh?
Yeah, that was, I think it was the lawyer
Arthur Meadow's grandfather.
His father.
No, that was his grandfather. His father was a lawyer, too. Arthur was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Arthur's father.
Yeah, but that was Arthur, not that little Arthur. The old Arthur.
Oh, the old Arthur you're talking about. That was his father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He used to live in that wooden house.
Yeah. Yeah. They had big houses in those days, didn't they?
Yeah, all big houses, high houses.
Yeah. Big families.
Yeah. It was so nice then. People were so, we used to go to church. We used to go early. So we could meet a lot of others to talk to before church. And after church, do you start again? Everybody was friendly.
They're too friendly up here.
Yeah, but you can't lie. Then you knew everything. I don't believe when I was a kid, there was a fellow from the Maravala guys. The Fort Ken didn't stop home.
Yeah.
For something. Feed his horse or have a lunch.
Yeah. And people in those days, if you stopped, as you said a while ago, if they didn't stop, eat. If you ate, you almost insulted them, you know. They didn't like it if you didn't stop the dinner. If it was anywhere near mealtime.
And the year that I drove them to there, I had two teams of camels, two teams seated white. And then there was old Willard had a hair. And Boy Dunsinker had 7 girls, but there was 6 that was good, nice girls. And then there was all the Willard girls. There was Chad Michael Jones. All the was about 20-25. And everywhere, our horses was the gun sinkers there, you know, they were going to the ferry there.
Yeah.
We used to go and dance in St. Francis. But me, I never was a dancer, but I used to drive them. And we used to put hay and hay right there, and they had organs, and guitars, and that machine that you hall there, and they used to dance in the road. We used to leave about 6 o'clock, we used to get there about dark. And then we used to leave in the night after the dance, and we used to go to the Greeks there, dinner. And then, you know, it wasn't easy, that girl eats boy the way it is today, you know. No, they were all good chums, and the folks was all sober, and there was a cigarette from outside, a lot of them. Yeah. 6 or 7 from the head men. And kiss goodbye, good night, and there we go. That was the best time on earth.
They used to have a lot of fiddles too. They called them fiddles.
Organs,
mouth organs. Yeah.
Half of them used to ride, the other used to have to walk.
All with horses. Yeah. You remember when the automobile came to Fort Kent?
Yeah. I remember the first one that ever came to Fort Kent. It was Joe Mitchell up here. Blacksmith there.
Yeah.
They had a big blacksmith shop there, and there was 5 or 6 brothers with 2 horses there.
Yeah.
They used to charge 40 cents then to riddle the shoe. And he had one with a chain.
Yeah.
And all those things. It's like a wagon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, well, there come them paddle cords there. And when I got married in 59, there was only 4 or 5 cars.
Yeah. What year did you say you were married in?
13.
1913. Yeah.
There was only, I think, Fred Porter had a car. An old man Thomas had a great big car, but he didn't take it out too much.
Yeah, he had a Pierce Arrow. Had a Pierce Arrow.
Yes, and old Twin Charlotte had a car. I think it was 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah. But Mitchell, this Joe Mitchell that you talked about, he built the car himself.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He put a car with a chain.
With a chain, yeah. I remember seeing it.
Something that little black spoke in the back of the hat, we didn't know if they ever got it right. The first aeroplane that was here, we were living in the back cabin, and my wife, when she was awful smart, and those people picked and milked the car with her, and she was a regular brother. And she seen that plane. She got in the stable. She was afraid of my father. That was the first thing that got up. That was in 1819, something like that. They had used them in the First World War.
Yeah. That landed right about where the college is now. That was a pretty big plane.
Yeah.
I've got pictures of that. That was quite a thing when that plane landed here. I remember that very well.
Boys, that life shift. And me, and of course, now I make a good living, good bed, good house enough, not fancy, but good enough to live in, not cold, furnished. And you know, if I was young today, I'd sooner go right back in my old trap and live the way we live today. Then you didn't have no trouble.
You just as leave those days would come back, Don?
Yeah. Because we were so friendly, you wasn't afraid of taxes, you wasn't afraid of a cop.
You leave your house unlocked?
Yes.
Never lock the house?
No, nothing. Nobody would steal from you. No, if you had a load of hay out at night, but somebody know that, they'd come and help you out with that. A man going to the store, or we used to live up the ledge of Sarah, if you were going by, and you'd stop home and say, you need kerosene or you need this or...
Do errands for you?
Yeah.
I remember, and this is in my time, Bill, if a man built a barn or something, they'd take a day off and call it a frolic.
Yeah.
And they'd put the barn up almost in a day.
Yeah.
Everybody used to come to help out.
Yeah.
And they'd go from one place to the other doing this.
But I really think we must spoil the whole world. When they took that child labor out. I don't know if it's on that or not. But when I look, I was cutting me down there 10,000, 12,000 cord of wood. Not a Canadian, all fellows with their boys, fathers and boys. And they used to come with their lunch, and it was something that the mother had made, good cookies and good peas and meat. And then with the bus off. And then kids used to try the bus off. My father went very young. tried better than you do. My butler's doing better than you. What the father used to say then, it was wrong. And when kids used to come, they sometimes took them home. They'd come and the old woman had good supper for them, and the little sister, you get at the door and kiss the little brother, and what you're going to buy you with that money that you're in, I need a dress, I need a pair of shoes. How happy they were.
They all were.
All were. Everybody, the old woman used to milk the cows, she used to feed the pigs. When they used to be in the forest, used to be in the woods, everything was done around. And how happy they seemed to be, the sisters and the brothers. And after they took that child labor out, then they had to be 18 years old, and now older. There's a few come back, but it wasn't the same thing at all. Then it was the change, though. Your father, you're still going to cut the yard here? No. You're going to cut the bed. You ain't going to lose the day. You're going to cut it to a stake. And they come in at night and they say, Mother, that damn old fool, I ain't going back there. You can't put up with that old man.
Yeah.
That's where the fight commenced in the family. And then, you know, you take a boy that had a heart. I know me. But if I was 17 years old, 16, something like that, and some boys are good men, they were 15, 16.
Oh, yeah.
Just as good as they ever were. And go and ask your father for 25 cents or a dollar to go to fetch or something like that. I'd just as soon go in the store and back to the steal it. Wouldn't be no worse for me. My poor old father there reached up with mud and worked hard and me go and ask him for money and able to work. And the government wouldn't let him work. That's where they got the whole world going. And when they took the prayers out of school, that's another. There was no religion, you know. I'm going to say that poor old man's going to all kinds of religion, but only one God. Poor old man Thomas told me that up. All kinds of religion, but only one God.
It's a lot different today, Bellon.
Hello. Today,
go ahead.
Today, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I really think if the old books at school, I was an old Ben Markey when I was cooking in the wood and I was there young. And he was a well-educated man. Joseph's father, Joseph always took charge for somebody.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
Yeah.
The oldest father. And it was an old book. And whatever there is today, all Martin meant it. Before the war, before the end of the world, that you'll see flying through the sky, and you'll see the everything that you would hear at the abort end of the world, hear, talk, and see at the end of the world. And that's all here.
Yeah.
And I really think with that long hair and that long whisker, the cement with long whisker and long hair, and she's going to finish with long hair in my
mouth. Well, you've got something there, I think, Bellon. Bellon, we were talking the other day, pardon me, Alice and I were walking. How did they used to come in and clear the land? How did they acquire this land, and how did they clear it to make a farm and build a home? And
well, I tell you, the most of them come through Canada, you know, through Savensi. Like them, all of them, St. John, like Louis St. John and Southern St. John, and there was Castalgay and the Willis. That all comes from like the last,
yeah,
from Staples. But the rest, I guess, they come through St. Francis and through here somewhere. You take old Xavier Burby. You remember old Fonslow Burby that you carried? He was always dirty and a big mustache and everything.
I've heard the name. I don't know whether I remember him.
When they come in this country, the year that they come in this country, then they camp on the hill on this side of home. You know where
yeah,
he used to live?
Yeah.
And they went through there in a little camp, fire camp. No soul. And that was the year that the Indian had, I don't know, they looked friendly with the Indian pretty quick. But the place they had trouble that year. The Indian didn't have too much corn, they didn't have too much potato. And they had today with all the Indian and two men there, they cut the cook in the ash. And in the spring, they cut their seeds, they cut it with a spoon. So they just get the eye, so they could eat the heart. That's the way they own them. And you take, like, the bushel. Well, they come from Chicago, Illinois, from the bushel. This is in white.
Yeah.
All them bushels. They come from Chicago, Illinois. And the Sears and all that class, they come from the Cadiz,
probably. Yeah. That was over in Canada.
Yeah, the English shipped them out.
Yeah.
War.
But how did they come in, Bellin? They had oxen. You remember when they had oxen working. They'd clear land, pull the stumps out, clear land, build a little cabin.
And today she's all grown up in bushes.
Yeah.
All that land. You take in the back cabin there, and the 25 little farms that they all used to live on. And cut wood for compass and toast, and they all made a great, all brought good family. And I've got a boy there, and I give him 400 acres of land. 450 acres, clear land, and about 2,000 acres of woodland. And a good home, and a good living, and he's starving with that. That's the worst thing that I ever give a man that money. I should have given that to somebody that I hated real bad. Because I'm at 1058, I must have $125,000 in there. You take one of them out and you can't help it. You take hay don't sell, oats don't sell, potatoes don't sell.
Yeah.
And wages, it takes 2 bags of potatoes today to pay a man an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the reason today, because I was telling you a while ago, how the labor man thinks that the grub is high. It ain't the grub, it's the way we live too high. According to the grub never was as cheap. And God was worried, it's here today for flood wages. Because you used to get $1 a day, 75 cents a day, $1.15, $7 a month, the higher you were up. So the farmers got no show at all today.
Oh. Did there used to be Indians around?
That around there, there never was too much. There was a few, but not too much. But like Batcher Banjo there in the Old Town, there used to be quite a lot. And then at the head of the Histook River, there used to be quite a lot.
There was Indians down Edmondson too, weren't they?
Yeah.
There were some Indians at the mouth of Big Black, Bellin.
Yeah. But I got mixed up, you know, I guess, with the white quite a bit.
Yeah.
There was a while then I wasn't friendly, but after a while I just got friendly and got married and mixed up. And you take like the Castonians, they were half Indians, you know.
They were, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the day there,
yeah. Well, now, like, that's another instance where a place got its name from the people that settled there, like Castonia Settlement. They were named after the Castonias that went there.
And then, like the McClellan Farm, which was the McClellan Farm a while, but after Mitchell was a big lumberman, and then after the McClellan left, but Mitchell had a bigger name, so it was called the Mitchell Farm.
Mitchell Farm. And the Moore's Farm, right at the head of Allagash Falls, or a little above the falls, there was a Moore settled there, wasn't
there? Old John Moore.
Yeah.
That was the old woman that I was talking to you about that had come from Mary to see.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
There was no Larry used to stay there.
Uh-huh.
And Taylor stayed there. And while the Taylor's got a camp there, would you ever go to the St. John River there to Taylor? He's got a kind of a sporting camp there. And that was a McKinnon that built that. And when I was up there, it was Albert Dempsey was staying there.
Yeah.
And Albert Dempsey was married to Gilbert.
Yeah.
And that Albert Dempsey's wife would take one of them canoes, one of them log canoes, and pull it from the back shore when she wanted stuff. She used to come and pull it down and go down one day to the back shore and go back the next day and haul that canoe over the falls on skates.
Now you said a log canoe. Is that what we used to call a pirog?
Yeah, pirog. That was that pine log. They used to take a pine log, you know, that was followed.
Yeah.
And then they used to have a cheek that they followed there.
Yeah. They used to make it a log. Bellin, coming back to those boats, talking about a big boat that you used to do a towing in. How long, what's the longest one they ever had, Bill? About 80 feet long, yeah? Uh-huh. That was, they had one, I remember one was called the Lusitania. It had that written on the cabin in back of it. That belonged to Michaud, I guess, huh?